This is Chicago's Game Night on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Cubs are off tonight, thank goodness. Sox are taking on the Twins over at U.S. Cellular Field.
That's no way to come into a segment with all that negativity.
Well, I mean, there's just, I got nothing for the Cubs right now. They've lost 9 in a row. I mean, Tex McHood is celebrating down in Houston. We should check in with him before we get off the air at 10 o'clock. I want to get his recap of the Cubs-Astros series.
If his voice is strong enough, he'll make an appearance.
Maybe we'll find him. Jonathan Hood, Jeff Dickerson, Chicago's Game Night on the air till 10. It's ESPN 1000, ESPNChicago.com. If you are a Cubs fan or just a baseball fan in general, make sure to check out viewfromthebleachers.com. It is part of the ESPN Sweet Spot Network. Chet West does a great job writing for viewfromthebleachers.com. He joins us now on Chicago's Game Night. Chet, nice to talk to you. How you doing?
Good talking to you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, so give me a positive, Chet. I'm down.
Oh, I got
a Cubs fan. Give me something I can hang my hat on right now.
I've got to dig. I'll give you something. Zamarja at home. How's that?
It's a start.
It's a start. Yeah, LeHaire through the middle of May.
Wow.
We're at a point in the season here. I think a lot of Cubs fans dreaded, and that was what happens when people need to start making adjustments. And LeHaire is in that boat now, and I think we're watching the law of averages start to come into play a little bit.
We kind of projected that this ball club might be a 100-loss team, and it happens when you're in a season of transition. Is there anything that you look at moving forward that tells you, okay, this is going, you know, there's a few cornerstones for this team? Can you name right now the cornerstones for this team once they're good?
Oh, cornerstones for this team. I'm gonna hang my hat right now on guys like, and I'm hoping he doesn't get traded, guys like Garza. Mm-hmm. I wish they'd build a pitching staff around this guy. Guys like Zamarja, if he can show what he's shown so far going forward, you've got two solid guys right there for rotation. Unfortunately, I want to believe in LeHaire. I want to believe this guy is, you know, the next great left-handed bat that we're going to have. Mm-hmm. But I'm starting to watch his numbers drop, and we're at that point where you're watching a young hitter. Well, not so young, but a hitter that is got limited time at the major league level, and he's got to adjust. And this is kind of the you know, is the cream going to rise to the top here with him type of thing. So we're kind of waiting and seeing, and in the meantime, we're watching Soriano limp all over the place, and the power in the lineup slowly fading.
Chet West from viewfromthebleachers.com is joining Jeff Dickerson, Jonathan Hood on Chicago's Game Night right here on ESPN 1000. You mentioned Soriano, Chet. You recently had a little item about Soriano and his contract and putting into perspective the worst deals ever signed, you know, that the Cubs ever signed. So convince me that Soriano's contract isn't the worst ever.
The only thing I'm going to say about Soriano is the fact that he has had productivity. He has produced some. He has had his streaks of extremely hot hitting. His fielding, he's left a lot to be desired. It always has. But we were looking at him to be an offensive force, and there were seasons where he was. I would have liked to have seen this contract ended about 5 to 6 years, the way I think it was originally supposed to be, until some higher-ups got a handle on it and pushed it to 8 to get the deal done. But you know, you got 2 years left, and I will be shocked. Well, let's put it this way. If they don't just release the guy, which I think is honestly going to happen at some point, I don't think anybody's going to take him off our hands for anything. We'd be shocked to get a bag of balls at this point.
What you want, Chet, is for the ball club to be better, and you also want to see improvements around Wrigley Field. We've heard Tom Ricketts say on many occasions it costs $10 to $12 million just to pour concrete around Wrigley Field. So you should imagine some of the things to regentrify that particular ballpark. So when we continue to see in the paper, especially in the front of the paper, about Tom Ricketts going for the save. This is a piece written by Fran Spielman the other day about how Tom Ricketts is reaching out to some of the black politicians and community leaders to try to stop some of the question marks around his dad attacking President Obama. What are your thoughts on what could happen as far as trying to get that ballpark better? Do you think that he'll be able to get that local money from the politicians here in Chicago?
Yeah, since Tom Ricketts became owner, it seemed like his chief concern personally, outside of obviously bandying about wins, was to get that ballpark in a more solid situation where he could turn some dollars, add revenue, whatnot, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
This thing with his father, I don't know how closely can we associate a guy with what his father says. I don't want to get too deep into that because you're walking down a whole nother rabbit hole there.
Right.
But at the same time, if the Cubs generate the revenue they generate for the city of Chicago, and I think it's a pretty decent amount in tourism each year, I think he should be granted some of this money to improve the ballpark and make it a little bit more of a little more of a friendly confines, a little bit more of a place people want to come in, visit, stick around, stay around the ballpark, spend their money at the ballpark, and maybe in the end the city will reap some benefits from that.
Another few minutes with Chet West, one of the writers on viewfromthebleachers.com. He's joining us right now on ESPN 1000. Here's something else I struggle with, Chet. I have a lot of Cubs angst, if you can't tell. You know, all right, we know they're rebuilding, obviously.
Sure.
They've had horrible. I mean, Marmol was horrible before he went on the DL. Kerry Wood was so bad he had to retire. You've got, you know, guys in the lineup that were hitting a little bit, now they're not hitting so well. You still got Soriano. Given all these circumstances, how can you objectively tell or judge what kind of job Dale Swaim is doing in his first year up to this point?
You absolutely can't. You can't judge Dale Swaim on the first month and a half of his term here with the Cubs because earlier in the show, you guys were talking about Adam Dunn making adjustments after his first year with the White Sox. You come over to a new team. You're making adjustments. You have a rough time with it. It's a new setting. Think of all the players on this team that are now new to this team. You've got Ian Stewart, David DeJesus. You've got how many? We go down the list here of the young guys just making adjustments to Major League Baseball on an everyday basis. And then you've got a manager trying to hold all this together. I can see there's a little desperation in his whole, I want to reshuffle the lineup. I mean, that's just change for the sake of change. And you're seeing that come out. What else does he do? What, you know, managers, in my opinion, affect so little of a team's win and loss record that it becomes a situation. A lot of what they do, we don't see. Mm-hmm. It's all behind the scenes. And, you know, he had a reputation as a great baseball guy, has a reputation as a great baseball guy. He needs to have some time. He needs to have some time with a finished product, something that you know, we're working towards. There's an idea right now, but we don't have a product or even close to a finished product, really.
Chet, really appreciate you jumping on board. It was very nice talking to you, and I'm sure Jonathan and I will be speaking with you at some point in the near future, okay?
Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Chet West. Again, check him out, viewfromthebleachers.com.